It's time for chapter 2. And what happens is it's right before chapter 2. There's this timeline. It says part 1, the road to Wuhan. And it's like a timeline in a little graph box or a box. But and it's columns, and it has by the year, the month and day, and the event. So it starts here with 1914. The event was European militaries explored germ warfare in World War I. 1925, Geneva Protocol establishes no first use of chemical and biological warfare. 1932, Shiro Ishii opens lab in Harbin, China, as ground zero of bioweapons research. 1933, Germans test bioweapon feasibility in Paris Metro and London's Piccadilly Circus. 1936, Shiro Ishii forms Japan's notorious Unit 731. 1937, Japan uses biological weapons against China. 1940, October, Unit 731 tests plague-infested fleas on occupied Chinese cities and towns. 1940, Fort Detrick breeds superbugs to spread pathogens. 1941, WBC committee convenes to determine feasibility of bioweapons. 1942, February 17, WBC committee endorses biowarfare. Biowarfare as a promising new line of weaponry. 1942, mustard gas experiments begin on U.S. servicemen. 1943, March, U.S. Army Biological Warfare Laboratories set up at Camp Dietrich. 1943, FDR pledges no first use of biowarfare and chemical weapons. 1945, September. First, United States officials go to Japan to gather data from Unit 731. 1945, Operation Paperclip begins importing Nazi scientists. 1946, January. Ishii is detained by United States agents who retrieve hidden data and specimens. 1947, CIA takes control of Operation Paperclip. 1947, Edgewood Arsenal begins human experiments with Tabun gas. 1949, August 29, Russia detonates their first atomic bomb. 1949, August, the CIA conducts biological infection testing through the Pentagon air conditioning system. 1949 December, the United States co-ops Japanese war criminals to develop biological weapons. 1950 September 26th, Navy begins testing effects of airborne bacteria on civilians. 1950 zinc-cadmium sulfide gas is released over major United States cities throughout the 50s. 1952, October 8th, 669-page UN report accuses United States of violating Geneva Protocol by using biological weapons in Korean War. 1952, CIA begins Project MK Naomi to stockpile and test biological and chemical agents. 1953, CIA's mind control project, MKUltra, begins. 1953, Frank Olson is dosed with LSD by CIA colleagues and dies from a suspicious fall through a hotel window. 1954, Operation White Coat begins, testing deadly pathogens on Seventh-day Adventists. 1955, CIA releases unknown bacteria over Tampa Bay, Florida. 1959, arsenal of weaponized insects developed. 1960, Pentagon and CIA actively research biological and chemical weapons by the mid-60s. 1961, January 17, Eisenhower warns against the rise of the military-industrial complex and public policy capture by a scientific technological elite. 1962, January. United States begins using defoliants, including Agent Orange, in Vietnam. 1962, Cuba charges CIA with instigating Newcastle outbreak. 1964, Army and Navy deploy missiles with biological warheads attached. 1965, CIA sprays bacteria into the air in Washington, D.C. 1966, June 7 through 10, CIA tests bioweapon feasibility in New York City subway system. 1966, the CIA begins Project MK Search to find mind-altering drugs that can be used to control human behavior. 1966, United States researchers succeed in freeze-drying bioagents. 1966, smallpox escapes a UK lab, infecting residents of Birmingham. 1967, CIA begins Project MK Often/Chiquit to test toxicological effects on humans and animals. 1967, Fort Detrick develops a delivery of bioagents by Sergeant Missile. 1967, Secretary of Defense acknowledges the United States is actively developing biological weapons. 1967, outbreak of Marburg virus from lab leaks in Germany and Serbia. 1969, President Nixon terminates the American biowarfare program. 1971, United States conducts biological attack on Cuba with African swine fever. 1971, smallpox escapes lab near Aral Sea. 1972, United States destroys stockpiles of biological agents and munitions. 1973, CIA destroys records of human experimentation. 1975, January 22, United States ratifies the Geneva Protocol. 1975, United States signs Biological Weapons Convention Treaty. 1977, March, Senate hearings confirm historical field experiments on 239 populated areas. 1977, H1N1, Spanish flu, escapes from a lab, causing an outbreak in China. 1979, laboratory accident in Sverdlovsk, USSR, triggers outbreak of anthrax. 1985, United States sends weapons-specific biological agents to Saddam Hussein. 1987, DOD operating 127 bioweapon research projects. 1988, November 23, Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act signed into law. 1990, May 22, United States signs the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989 into law. 1991, bioweapons blowback on United States forces in Desert Storm, forcing the use of a dangerous anthrax vaccine that likely contributes greatly to the mysterious Gulf War illness suffered by returning veterans. And now we get to chapter two, which probably outlines the rest of these chapters until we get to the next part. We'll outline all of those things you just heard about in the timeline. Chapter two, Bioweapons and American Values. Here's a quote from General Douglas MacArthur here from 1957. Quote, "Our government has kept us in a perpetual state of fear, kept us in a continuous stampede of patriotic fervor, with the cry of grave national emergency. Always there has been some terrible evil at home or some monstrous foreign power that was going to gobble us up if we did not blindly rally behind it. And that's General Douglas MacArthur, 1957, end quote. One of the focuses of this book is the dark alliance between America's military and the intelligence agencies, particularly the CIA, and our public health bureaucracies. Following the collapse of the Soviet Union, the military and intelligence apparatus erected the biosecurity agenda as the new spear tip of American foreign policy. These agencies deftly replaced the fear of the Soviet monolith and creeping communism with a fear of infectious disease, which they have successfully stoked to justify vast expansions in power, including the aggressive assertion of America's imperial presence abroad and the steady erosion of constitutional rights at home that accompanied the rise of a surveillance and security state. The third leg to this stool is America's medical and scientific bureaucracy. The United States bioweapons program purchase at the confluence where the dark ambitions of the military-industrial complex mingle with those of the medical-industrial complex, composed largely of the federal scientific technocracy, the pharmaceutical industry, and the armies of academic researchers who receive funding from those entities. Presidents Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower had both warned Americans against this anti-democratic development. Truman created the CIA in 1947. Exactly 1 month after my uncle John F. Kennedy's assassination, Truman expressed his own fears about the agency's power grab. Quote, "For some time, I have been disturbed by the way CIA has been diverted from its original assignment. It has become an operational and at times a policy-making arm of the government. This has led to trouble and may have compounded our difficulties in several explosive areas. I never had any thought that when I set up the CIA that it would be injected into peacetime cloak and dagger operations. Some of the complications and embarrassment I think we have experienced are in part attributable to the fact that this quiet intelligence arm of the president has been so removed from its intended role that it is being interpreted as a symbol of sinister and mysterious foreign intrigue and a subject for Cold War enemy propaganda. We have grown up as a nation, respected for our free institutions and for our ability to maintain a free and open society. There is something about the way the CIA has been functioning that is casting a shadow over our historic position, and I feel that we need to correct it." End quote. As we have seen in his historic speech, Truman's successor, Dwight Eisenhower, cautioned against a threat to democracy and freedom parallel to that posed by the war machine's devotion to endless battle, the federal scientific technocracy. This caveat anticipated the rise of a medical cartel of sorts, which instead of promoting public health would thrive on policies that resulted in sickened populations who trembled in terror of illness and disease. For readers who wonder why our military and spy agencies would be interested in gain-of-function research, it's worth reviewing the agency's 75-year preoccupation with bioweapons, pandemics, and vaccines. Bioweapons development was the CIA's first love and has remained its relentless passion. The CIA's natal obsession with bioweapons pitted the agency against all the idealistic underpinnings of both American democracy and the healing arts of medicine. Bioweapons, after all, are the inverse of medicine. By enhancing infectivity of pathogens and endowing them with resistance to antibiotics and therapeutic treatments, and to heat and cold, the occult art of bioweapons development seeks to undermine all of the advances of medicine made by 100 generations of doctors and scientists since Hippocrates. Among the most alarming side effects of the federal preoccupation with bioweapons has been the systematic diversion of vast resources and armies of academic and government scientists away from public health and healing. We shall see that the rise of a biosecurity agenda has accompanied a diminution of our traditional freedoms, a weakening of democratic institutions, the militarization of medicine, and growing belligerence in foreign policy. Modern gain-of-function science can only be understood in the context of its historical roots in the United States bioweapons program. To appreciate the U.S. government's role in the catastrophe that befell the Wuhan lab, and to assure that a man-made pandemic never happens again requires a broader reckoning with the history of the United States bioweapons program. The bioweapons cartel, properly known as the Pandemic Preparedness and Response, PPR industry, operates in tight secrecy, largely free from press scrutiny or criticism, immune from legal liability, and therefore free of accountability. As the bioweapons agenda has emerged in recent years as the centerpiece of United States foreign policy, it has caused innumerable harms to open, transparent government, to civic discourse and free speech, to public health, and to public faith in our regulatory agencies and other democratic institutions in the United States and other Western nations. It has corrupted and subverted our university education system, our scientific journals, and the entire evidence-based approach to science and medicine. It has elevated military power, corporate profit-taking, and social control to the highest aspirations of the medical establishment. It has helped turn the American media into a propaganda device for Big Pharma and the military-industrial complex. It relies on a coalition that brings together the military, academia, medical journals, mainstream media, and public health regulators in a corrupt and secretive collaboration intended to turn medicine from a healing profession to a killing profession. Its linchpin is a sinister alliance between U.S. spy and public health agencies and the Chinese military. It has become the fulcrum for neoconservatism's globalist ambitions to empower billionaire elites and to disempower, disenfranchise, and commoditize the poor. It is the ultimate tool of imperial expansion abroad and for creating a security state at home. History has shown again and again the bioweapons agendas. Awesome power to transform compassionate, brilliant, idealistic doctors into monsters. Only by understanding its roots can we appreciate the danger it poses to all our cherished values and institutions. The history I outline here will shed light on the assumptions and rise to power of men like Ralph Baric, Peter Daszak, Jeremy Farr, and Anthony Fauci, as well as their networks, and allow us to view them and their activities with the skepticism they deserve. The PPR industry has its roots in the bioweapons programs of the World War II warmongering fascist regimes of Germany and Japan. The features the contemporary PPR industrial complex shares with the German and Japanese bioweapons programs include tight alliances with the pharmaceutical industry and the media, the complicity of academia and medical schools, the co-opting of journals, intense secrecy, pervasive experimentation on human subjects, liberal use of the word volunteers, open-air testing, on large unwilling populations. Ethical elasticity, the normalization of lies, the use of microbiology to alter and weaponize bugs, the use of vaccine development as a mask for bioweapons research, the corruption of the entire medical establishment by co-opting its leadership into inverting the idealistic purpose of medicine, the use of propaganda, orchestrated fear, and deception to maintain public support, and the strategy of offshoring outlaw research to rogue labs in other countries. We will see how the United States military and intelligence agencies appropriated not just the Nazi and Japanese scientists who pioneered the field, their tissue cultures, and their technologies for manipulating, breeding, and deploying pathogens, but also their ethical lacunae, their hubristic assumption of godlike power of life and death over large populations in service to their ideologies and often self-serving notions of the greater good. And that is the end of chapter 2. And I'm going to make a new recording for chapter 3. Thanks for listening.